transparent.
The beginning of a new process for strengthening the NPT and the execution of all the contents and stipulations of the non-proliferation treaty. Please allow me to ask a question about Article 8 of the conference statement regarding the attack on peaceful nuclear installations that will have adverse consequences for humans. And this is a clear violation of international law and the UN Charter. This is the final statement of the Tehran conference, part of it. In the future, what will the Iran's nuclear energy program be directed at? Will it be toward confrontation or interaction?
والذي يتحدث عن أن الهجوم على التأسيسات أو على المباني النووية يعتبر بمثابة تعدي على 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 حقوق الناس وأيضا مصداق لتجاوز مقررات الأمم المتحدة هل هذا يعني أن الملف النووي الإيراني سوف يسير نحو مزيد من التوتر مع الغرب أو نحو المزيد من التوافق مع الغرب
Well, the overall policy of the Islamic Republic in all areas, in foreign relations, it's all based on constructive interaction, based on dialogue and cooperation within a just framework. We also encourage the other parties to follow suit. To mention the same thing, that attacking nuclear installations of other countries and the fact that it violates international law and also the UN Charter, this is an emphasis on a very natural point. We do not think that those who decide to play with fire when they decide to attack Iran, we don't think that people will fancy that thought. They very well realize that the consequence, they know about the ramifications of such a move. We do not find this possible. I mean, we do not see the capacity, actually, on the ground. Those who were following the warmongering policy of the Bush era, and through different channels, they told us that they have decided and they will certainly attack those individuals. Came to realize the fact very soon that they won't be able to open a front from the Chinese border as long as the occupied Palestine. They said that they realized that they cannot command all that large battleground. They adopted some wrong policies, and they are facing the consequences in our region. They came here and they tried to take our region hostage, but they themselves fell hostage. They are taken hostage in this region. I said the same thing elsewhere. One of the delegations that came to Iran, it tried to kind of intimidate intimidate us. And I just gave them this example that, like, an individual went to the battlefront and said, I want to take part in an operation. They said, it's not time for a military operation. But he said that it's my job and my skill to go and take hostages in military operations. And he was told again that it is no time for operation. He himself went ahead, and after a while, on the wireless, he called for more troops to bring the hostages he has taken back. And he was said they had no troops. And he said, well, I have taken hostages. What do I do with these? They said, well, why don't you take those hostages back to the battlefield? They said that the hostages are not coming with me. He said, now that the hostages are not coming, why don't you yourself come back? And then they said, they don't let me. They don't allow me to go back. So you see that he himself was taken hostage. Well, you had some wrong policies. You decided, for example, to bring disarmament in Afghanistan. You said that anybody who lays down his arms, we will pay them $300. Buying weapons in Afghanistan, in north part of Pakistan, you can buy it for $150. So they buy the weapon $150, they sell it to you $300. Well, this demonstrates the fact that you do not know the region very well. You do not know what the problem is, really is. Mr. Bush, in the year 2008 in Annapolis, he got all the people together there, and he said that this year we will deal with and tackle the whole problems in the Middle East. Of course, the same comments was made 17 years ago. In 2008, he said, no, that this is final. That's what the U.S. president said. Now it's 2010. Do you see any prospect for settlement of the Afghan problem? The U.S. media, the elites and American thinkers, I really invite them all to try to come up with the real analysis of the situation on the ground for American officials. Isn't there anyone reporting to the U.S. president that in our embassies outside of the U.S. borders, there are 3,000, maybe 5,000 people? Why should we have 5,000 people in those embassies? How many diplomats do you need for mutual relations with world countries? If this statement is raised even as a joke, then I think U.S. officials need to study that and analyze this statement. Among diplomats in various countries, this statement has always been said, it's been exchanged, that inside America, the United States of America, there is no coup d'etat over there because the U.S. Embassy is not located there. Well, what does this mean? I think those who want to work in this region, they should first study the region well. With little knowledge, they make mistakes and take steps. They see the consequence and they look for to see who's to blame. Well, how far can we just keep advising you and you just turn a deaf ear to us? Regarding the comments of Ms. Clinton, U.S. Secretary of State, said she was worried about nuclear terrorism. And she said that Iran and North Korea, she accused Iran and North Korea directly. We saw yesterday that an official, Russian official, without naming any country, they also made their own comments. And also talking of nuclear terrorism, they said they were worried about it. What is Iran's official stance? We also announced that we are worried about nuclear terrorism and actually the issue of the existence of nukes. Therefore, in order for wrong addresses not to be given, let's move toward nuclear disarmament. And we believe that with nuclear disarmament, if this is realized, then the use of nukes will also be scrapped. If we create the culture in the world, therefore, we believe that we need to actually, at the same time, we're concerned about the issue of nuclear terrorism. We also need to deal with nuclear disarmament and start new cooperation. The baseless claims by U.S. officials regarding the Islamic Republic, they never come to an end. Therefore, in the past 30 years, such incorrect claims regarding terrorism, regarding human rights, when it comes to democracy and those issues, we are familiar with all these. And in recent years especially, no one believes in such claims. We therefore invite them to be realistic when dealing with issues. Greetings. From Austrian National Newspaper. Austrian former ambassador told me that some European countries made a mistake not to take part in this conference because through talks, all problems can be resolved. In response, today another number of European countries announced that this conference was only propaganda and Iran must be sanctioned for its nuclear program. China and Russia will have a role in new resolution. That's what is reported, but we saw that China and Russia found this conference constructive. Could you please elaborate on your stance? Well, you just mentioned everything. Everything you said was logical. The part that you said regarding the difference of opinion between the former ambassador of Austria regarding the constructiveness of this conference and also the comments of some of the Europeans that contradicted this opinion, well, I think we'd better invite the world public opinion to sit down and pass a judgment. The Austrian ambassador invited them all to come here and have their say. All the participants in the Tehran conference, it was clear for all of them that this is a very free forum for all explicit opinions. Anybody who wanted to even defend nuclear weapons, they had the chance to come and talk about it. Did you have problems with interviewing with participants? Anyone could express their own opinions. Therefore, I think if we leave the judgment to the public opinion, maybe that would be better. We would also ask them to conduct opinion polls. We would ask them to do that based on realistic opinion polls, not actually creating and fabricating opinion polls. Realistic, real opinion polls may help them correct their wrong policies. Regarding the resolution, I have expressed my opinion before. What some countries like France expressly said that they are not ready to do away with nuclear weapons. Nuclear disarmament in the world at the present situation, is it at all possible, and what's the best way for realization of this goal? Well, no, that's not easy. With the stances, given the stances that some of the countries have adopted in the Washington meeting, they stress to keep nuclear weapons. Well, basically, the issue of disarmament is that will create challenges, will be challenging then, but we believe that the best way and the first step is to kind of create this culture. We think that this one slogan, nuclear energy for all and nuclear weapons for none, we think that this slogan can be used in various areas. Of course, after this building of this, creating of this culture, we need some serious international effort and cooperation with various countries. Some of our friends said that the non-ally movement and some other organizations, we definitely will seriously and indefatigably follow this process that has just started.
Ganira Atashova from Azerbaijan, INSTVN. Mr. Minister, what is your position on Nagorno-Karabakh conflict? We cannot see any pressure on Armenia from official Tehran.
Well, the existence of crisis in relations between Azerbaijan and Armenia, that is due to the war that broke out years ago, but its consequences are still overshadowing the two countries' relations, and there are various provinces in this region. We are concerned about that, and we will not spare any effort, be it mutual between Azerbaijan and Armenia, two-sided, or on a regional level, or even internationally. We will spare no effort to settle this crisis, and we support that. We believe that the Caucasus does not have the capacity for any other crisis. In Georgia, we were witness to a number of bitter events. Security, energy, telecommunications and transportation sectors were all affected by these crises. They sustained negative impacts. That is why we told those sides that the Islamic Republic is prepared to extend assistance for resolving that crisis, and we do hope that the ground will be paved for that. Based on dialogue and a peaceful resolution, we are hopeful that the Karabakh crisis, through a just way, will be settled.
مساء الخير سيادة الوزير. لدي سؤال من شقين. الأول، هل ستدعم إيران حق دول جوار؟ كما يعني بدأنا نسمع أن كثير من دول الخليج بدأت تتحدث عن موضوع استخدام الطاقة النووية السلمية. هل ستدعم إيران هذا التوجه لدول الجوار؟ هذا الشق الأول من سؤالي. الشق الثاني، كما تعرفون إيران وسوريا بينهم ما يشبه مذكرة تفاهم أو اتفاقية دفاع مشترك، والآن يتكرر الحديث عن يعني عمل عدواني عسكري إسرائيلي تجاه دول المنطقة. هل سيكون هناك دعم على أرض الواقع يعني في حال لا سمح الله نشبت هذه المعركة وهذا العدوان من الجانب الإسرائيلي؟ شكرا.
از مصوبه شورای همکاری خلیج فارس.
The Cooperation Council on the Persian Gulf in Riyadh, where there are six countries as the member of this group, benefiting from nuclear energy. They stress actually making use of nuclear energy, and Iran supports that. The slogan of our conference was nuclear energy for everyone. Because you actually talked about our Arab neighbors, we support them. We also support our non-Arab neighbors, and at the same time, we support all countries to have access to peaceful nuclear energy. The relations between Iran and Syria in the past 30 years have been a strategic relations based on mutual interests of both nations of Iran and Syria, and directed at helping regional security. And without a doubt, within the framework of agreements between the two countries, anytime it's necessary, part of this agreement, if they need to be put into practice, the two sides will, they are committed to it, and they will put them into practice. Given the fact that Americans in the past decades, they themselves have actually set up the Tehran reactor, and they know very well how that reactor works and what the purpose is, why should then issues related to Tehran research reactor that is only medicinal and actually industrial, why should the West actually politicize this issue? Of course, I hope that Americans will give you a visa and so that you could go and ask them themselves. This is the question that our reporters, both our reporters over there or our reporters who want to go to the U.S., they have this problem. But the fact, what you mentioned, we think, they cannot have a proper response. You said that the Americans themselves have started this reactor. Americans themselves provided fuel before the Islamic Revolution. After the revolution, the fuel that needed to be renewed, we provided it through Argentina. Well, why should they then create obstacles? We need that fuel for this reactor. Why don't they let us provide it from market or purchase it, actually? I think the political move that surrounding this purely humanitarian issue, I think that will not benefit the U.S., and we are hopeful that your recommendation that you actually put within the question, Americans will take heed of that. The level of, we saw the four ministers of China and Russia did not take part. Maybe it was under pressure from America. That's like it said. Some of our neighboring countries did not attend either. The four ministers did not attend. How do you evaluate America's pressure on these countries and this move that has started by Iran regarding disarmament through these obstructionism that the U.S. is actually leading? Do you think such conference will be successful? Of course, the way you put it, I don't see that that way. In the beginning, we were supposed to have that conference at the level of experts and research institutions, but in the middle of the way, it was proposed that some officials also be invited. That's why a number of my colleagues were also invited. I think there was a substantial number of officials attending there. Within the time frame that we extended an invitation, you know that foreign ministers have their schedules made months in advance due to the workload that they have. But to see in such an international atmosphere how to actually push forward the ideas put forward in this conference, I think the next year conference will be far more welcomed. Tehran will turn into a hub for presence of all thinkers, experts of various faiths and religions, as well as representatives of governments. Tehran will be turning into a hub next year. And I think continuation of such conferences, along with you, the representatives of mass media, and along with the NGOs, they can help bring about the culture of the message of this conference. You can play a pivotal role. Well, there three more questions, looks like. Three more reporters will be at your service in the next meeting.
President Ahmadinejad,
yesterday in his speech, he made some proposals. Part of it, he was addressing the countries that possess nuclear weapons and threaten to use these weapons or have already used them. Mr. Ahmadinejad said that they should be expelled from the IAEA. Russia and China are two of the friends, economic partners of Iran, and they also will be put into that category. Does Tehran not think that with what Mr. Ahmadinejad said, these two countries will also be upset and maybe some problems might be created in other international forums? If you could elaborate on that. Well, most naturally, threatening to use nuclear weapons is not accepted, no matter who does that. Reporter is insisting to ask his question, but looks like there is lack of time. In recent days, we heard comments to the effect that there has been some kind of misunderstanding, let's put it that way, and we hope that that's the case, and we hope that they would correct themselves in what they said. This cannot be defended. But what decision should be made, that depends on capacities and potentialities. Expressing this stance that the world must be free of nuclear weapons, this should not hurt anybody. Nobody should be upset, even the permanent members of the Security Council. We don't think, at least some of them, will not object this. They won't be upset. This is a very logical stance. from an Iraqi newspaper, and then another newspaper from Algeria.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. أحلام المالكي من صحيفة بلدي المستقلة. معالي الوزير المحترم، بالرغم من كون الجمهورية الإسلامية الإيرانية تحاول جاهدة إبعاد المنطقة عن الأسلحة النووية وتركيز جهدها النووي للأغراض السلمية وتوقيعها على معاهدة الNPT، فإنها تواجه هجمة واتهامات شرسة من قبل الدول الغربية والسائرة في الفلك والصهيونية، في حين أن إسرائيل لم توقع على معاهدة انتشار الأسلحة النووية وتمتلك ترسانة من الأسلحة ولم يحرك العالم ساكنا حيالها، فما تعليقكم على ذلك؟
Well, these are the very differences that we do not approve of. We think that the discriminatory approaches and also being impartial toward non-proliferation will bring problem for international community. Our comments and our stances cannot be defended. In the history of our country, avoiding the production of weapons of mass destruction and, God forbid, use of that, we never thought of this throughout our history, or use of chemical weapons or biological weapons. Therefore, to stress that the Zionist regime must be actually be pleased, or it must be actually imposed, it must be actually pressured in order to fall into the category of the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency. I share the same view that this double standard is there.
Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid al-Wazir, Ghania Abkhazi from Algeria. هل مشاركة الممثل الروسي والممثل الصيني في مؤتمر طهران يزرع فيكم الثقة بأنه مجلس الأمن لم يحصل ولن يحصل على إجماع لمعاقبة إيران؟ شكرا.
ما با معاونین وزرای خارجه روسیه
Well, with the deputy foreign ministers of Russia and China, we have had constructive talks with them regarding the issue of this same conference, and we are supposed to have such meetings on at other levels. Deputy foreign ministers have met one another. They have expressed their stances regarding the conference, regarding the generalities of the conference. And I think even with the permanent members of the UN Security Council, we can even come up with a shared framework regarding the same issue, even with them. And destruction of nuclear weapons is nothing to be done in a frame in a period of 6 months or 1 year. But actually, starting this process can enable us to find a time frame and trying to reach that goal. I explained in the conference, in 1990, the need for scrapping of chemical weapons it turn into a global demand. When such a thing is globalized, then Geneva became the cradle of devising that relevant convention. Almost 3 years, they worked on this convention for 3 years. At that time, I was the deputy foreign minister in international affairs, and we had the most active and the most skilled experts of ours in the Iranian delegation present there in Geneva, and they succeeded in cooperation with others. Europe had a very constructive role at that time. So we believe instead of actually creating intimidation, instead of saying that how many times each one of us can destroy the other side, instead of this, we'd better decide to destroy these weapons, and it can actually bring about more capabilities and potentialities for us in other spheres. This is a very clear message. We're not following any political ends, nor any propaganda means, nor do we need those things at all. We have basic principles that we simply reflect in that conference, and we believe that these stances will be approved of by world people. And in the next year, within the next year, the world public opinion, we think it will turn to accept the idea of a world free of nuclear weapons. We will see that. Therefore, on the same basis, when it comes to disarmament, we think that we will be better off in order to bring about consensus. But if part of what another reporter said regarding the Security Council and other relevant issues, there are 14 members of the UN Security Council. We have plans to meet them directly, and the 15th member in an indirect way. We have planned to actually discuss nuclear issues with a formula on nuclear fuel swap deal as a major axis. We have had talks with them, and we are still in talks with them. In the next 10 days, those negotiations will be pursued more intensively. Delegations from the Islamic Republic will be heading to capitals of Russia, China, Lebanon, Uganda, and in the near future, in some other world capitals, Iranian delegations will follow the same issue, and we are hopeful that the right decision will strengthen the status of the UN Security Council. We are not at all concerned about repeating the failed experiences through imposing the wills of some members of the Security Council. We're not worried about that. Therefore, we hope that they will deal with this issue logically and the right way. Thank you very much for your patience, and I apologize to other friends who had not a chance to raise their questions, especially Mr. Maruki. In another chance, we will be at your service soon.
Well, you've been looking and listening to the press conference by Iran's foreign minister, Manoucher Mottaki. He gave a summary of basically what has been covered the last 2 days during this conference and what is hoped to continue from this.